Oh, jam! Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is... No, wait, that's the wrong show.
Try again.
Oh, jam! Okay, let's try this again. Oh, jam! Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/TheManaPool. Which I think is
first
where I got confused. what does it say under there? I'm Chewy.
See? Yeah, you are.
Says it right there.
True.
And I'm bad at this game. And over there is Squee.
I am also bad at this game. Therefore, by curve, we're both okay at this game.
It's true. As you can tell, we are missing a clues. But we...
True.
Think was it spring break that that's what you said you thought it was?
Possibly. It could have been spring break, or it could just be him realizing that there might be legacy talk and leaving to guarantee it.
Yeah,
he does control legacy, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Apparently so. Yeah, correlation is causation. So
mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's just one of those things where, like, when he's not on the show, he's spending all of his magic energy making legacy still a thing. This could just be his version of paying upkeep.
That could be. Regardless, anytime there's legacy anything, Clues manages to not be here. So,
sure.
But we think it's because he's on spring break. So he's, in Daytona flashing people?
I mean, if he gets the right beads, he might be at early Mardi Gras.
That could be. But we think actually he's skiing, pronounced sheeing.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah.
We're going to call them a mobile downward sky check. That's how he rolls. By not rolling, but in fact,
skiing. I was going to say, I hope he's not rolling down the hill.
The goal is to not Katamari your way down the mountain.
I don't know. He does love Katamari.
That's true. He could be a LARPer.
Anyway, let's get to the magic news.
All right.
So, the big news, of course... happened on Thursday, which means we actually covered this once already on the Mana Pool.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's rare that the Mana Pool gets to the news before we do, but it just so happened to work.
Continuity.
Boom. They announced Modern Horizons, that modern thing that they were talking about, or that Rosewater hinted at, that people have been wondering about ever since.
It is a secret project to drill for new modern magic cards in the Atlantic Ocean. Wait, no, it's not that at all. 50-50.
Yeah. So, so yes, Modern Horizons. Look at that logo. Isn't that a logo?
Yeah, it makes me want to drink orange juice.
Yes. So, Modern Horizons is a new set. It is the innovation set this year. And previous innovation sets, they used to be called draft innovation sets, but I guess they've just dropped that.
Probably.
So previous innovation sets were Conspiracy. Conspiracy, Take the Crown. Conspiracy 3, Electric Boogaloo. Wait, no, that one didn't happen.
Yeah.
No, it was Unstable. The Unset 3, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Conspiracy can't get a 3, because nothing does.
Yeah. And, except for Ravnica, oddly enough.
Yeah, that is weird.
And Battle Bond. Those are all previous innovation sets. This time it's Modern Horizons. So, this is not a master set. So I'm going to do to you what I did to Mike on the Mana Pool. Bill, what's a master set?
Expensive.
No. What? Give a quick idea of what Modern Masters was.
Oh, so the goal behind Modern Masters was to, well, the stated goal was to provide a fun environment where people can play with a lot of the best cards in Modern as a jumping in, you know, process. The practical goal of it was to get a lot of cards into Modern circulation without having to reprint them in something that's standard legal, because that would break standard terribly. So they were just more expensive packs that enabled you to theoretically get better cards that would do well in a Modern environment.
And but they were all reprints.
They're all reprints. There was nothing new.
Of cards that were already legal in Modern.
Yeah, Modern never gets anything new unless it's added via Standard. Legacy and Vintage and other stuff get special things because of the rules for how they work, but Modern is strictly these sets, giant list of things leading up to current Standard.
Yeah, like Legacy and Vintage get the Commander sets and stuff like that.
Yeah, Conspiracy would count for most of the cards.
Yeah, and those skip over Modern.
Yeah.
So this, it's important to know what a Master set is so you don't think this is the same thing. This will be 249 cards that have never been in Modern before. Some of those are new cards that are going to be printed that go directly into Modern, and others are going to be reprints that have never been in Modern.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
That's weird.
It's completely skipping Standard, so they're going directly into Modern. Do not pass Standard. Do not collect 2 years of Standard play. I made a Monopoly joke.
You did. Because I thought you were going to say, still lose $200, but...
No, because I'm not buying any of it.
There you go.
So, they'll also be legal in Legacy and Vintage and Commander and all that good stuff that, you know, it doesn't matter. But specifically, it's skipping Standard.
By virtue of their own legality rules, yeah.
Yeah. Specifically, it's skipping Standard, and it will be legal in Modern, and they're all new cards as far as Modern is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy.
Yeah, that's setting up a weird environment because obviously they have to print new cards to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But also thinking about cards that are pre-Modern that they're willing to put into Modern means that they're dancing through a lot of older formats for playable cards that presumably also play together because they probably still want you to draft it a little bit.
Yeah, they did say on the reveal stream that it's actually a lot of fun to draft, but of course they're going to say that.
Well, I mean, they're not going to say, like, it drafts pretty badly. You should still buy it in packs of three.
Exactly.
Like, no, they're not going to say that. But I do think that it'll be interesting, just from a game design standpoint, to see what they put together, because it's not going to have any cards that are in Modern right now, so you're digging around with a pool of cards that haven't really been around since, I guess, the way Legacy was before the first Modern set. So that's a weird time jump, except there's also new cards to shake it up. I'm curious to see where this goes.
Yeah. So some of these cards that are reprints are going to be old cards from before, what, 8th edition in Mirrodin?
Yeah.
And I don't think they said, I don't remember now because this all happened on Thursday, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had cards that were from possibly Conspiracy and possibly Commander sets and whatnot also way into it.
Yeah, that's true, because those were never Modern legal if they weren't already. So that would be a way to do it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's going to release on June 14th. June 13th on Magic Online. And yeah. There you go. On Magic Online, they're going to be $6.99 a pack. And that's on Magic Online. Remember, they're not doing MSRP anymore. More on that in a minute. But yeah. So they're not going to tell us what they'll cost at your local game shop because they'll should be able to charge whatever the hell they want. Again, in a minute. they're going to do pre-release events. They said in the stream they're going to be a draft pre-release rather than a sealed pre-release. So it must be fun to draft, or else they wouldn't push that so hard.
Yeah.
At least I hope they wouldn't. Like, this format sucks, dude. Oh, make them draft it anyway. It'll be hilarious. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I mean, considering this is taking the spot that would have been, you know, Battle Bond or the Conspiracy things, doing a pre-release that is a draft for this makes sense.
Yeah.
That's still a thing you do. It also means it's probably going to be cheaper than, you know, ponying up $25 to $30 for it if it were at normal Magic prices. More if it's more expensive. So.
Yeah.
Just maybe easier.
So they showed us two of these original cards. One is the Cabal Therapist. You read these, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. So Cabal Therapist, for a single black, is a 1/1 horror that's rare with menace. And at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you flashback Cabal Therapy.
Ah!
Yeah. You may sacrifice a creature. When you do, choose a non-land card name. Then, target player reveals their hand and discards all cards with that name, which is the flashback for Cabal Therapy, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
And actually,
hence the name.
I had forgotten about this, actually. If we go to Gatherer, type in Cabal Therapy, and do a quick search. Check it out. That's the wrong art. Check it out. It's actually the thing in the art for Cabal Therapy that I didn't realize at first.
That makes sense.
See, look, there he is. And there he is right there.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
I mean, it's amazing what you can do with an online degree.
It's true. I wonder if this is one of those guys who got their degree while they were in prison.
I mean,
hmm.
Could be.
Although technically you don't have to be certified to just say you're a therapist.
Probably true. Never checked.
Yeah.
I mean either way, I'm not checking this guy for anything because he menaces me.
That's
so
true. Yeah. Yeah, people have been debating whether or not this card is good. We'll leave that up to you. I think it's neat.
I think it's the kind of card that, for the people that are looking for that sort of thing, they're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
For decks that are looking for a cheap sack outlet, maybe? I mean, it's not super recurring because you just do it at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase. But that could be enough. Like, you get to look at your opponent's hand. So
yeah.
That could be enough even if they're not discarding, depending on what your deck does.
It's true.
So, recurring look at hand can be really useful if you're trying to see if the path is clear. So, I don't know. Neat. The menace just feels like an extra little bit of flavor.
Yeah, because look at him.
I mean, I'm not blogging that. Not alone.
So, why don't you tell us about Sarah the Benevolent?
Sarah the Benevolent, she's got a realm. Yeah, Sarah the Benevolent is a planeswalker. Legendary planeswalker. As they are now. Two white-white, remember that. Four total mana. Four loyalty. Plus two, creatures you control with flying get +1/+1 till end of turn.
That seems good.
Okay. I mean, the plus two is the main feature there, but that's
yeah.
Nice too. Like, it doesn't give them flying, and you have to have creatures, but, you know, it's plus two, so life could be good anyway. Minus three, keeping in mind we're starting at four, minus three, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying and vigilance. So Sarah the Benevolent is making a Sarah Angel token.
It's weird how
that's
that works.
Great. That's pretty great considering Sarah Angel cost 5 mana. So,
but
again,
Sarah Angel
she cost 4.
Cost 5 mana at uncommon. This is mythic, so
it's
that
true.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah, you get the discount for having the orange symbol on you.
Yeah.
And minus 6, you get an emblem with, if you control a creature, or if you control a creature, comma, damage that would reduce your life total to less than 1 reduces it to 1 instead.
Yeah, just get a worship emblem.
Yeah. So, I think this is a fun and neat, flavorful pile of things. I think 90% of the time it will be cast Sarah Benevolent, make a Sarah Angel token, hope she sticks around for a few turns so that you can do more. And making a Sarah Angel token is pretty sweet because you've now got a 4/4 blocker on turn 4, which will probably keep your Planeswalker alive if you've been doing anything else in your white deck. And if
yep.
you want to just, you know, rub it in a little bit on turn 5, you can cast a Sarah Angel and be like, yeah!
Wait. Dude, you know what white card gives you flyers that is really popular in Modern?
Probably several.
Lingering Souls.
Yeah, it is white something. It's got a black flashback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, those spirits,
I mean,
have flying.
Midnight Haunting and all that stuff, they're all flyers. A little bit bigger. It's yeah, pretty sweet.
Seems good. So there you go. Those are the two cards that they showed us. Now, there will be a BioBox promo.
Of course.
And it will be the only way to get that card. It's not in boosters. But mm-hmm. that BioBox promo is a reprint of a card that's never been in Modern, because all of the reprints have never been in Modern.
I like that approach more.
That is an excellent approach, yeah. So it'll be a... let's see. Well, it'll be like an older BioBox promo where
yeah,
it's the only way to get this version, but there are other versions out there.
Yeah, this is straight up a collectible thing that might be adding, you know, a copy of something you don't have a setup to your collection. Which is cool. Like, that's totally fine. You're under no danger of this being the only way to get it, because it's a reprint. So... that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And it is still adding it to Modern legality. So.
Yeah.
Neat.
So there you go. That's what we know about Modern Horizons. Previews are going to start the end of May? Yeah, I think they said there's 2 weeks of previews. So, and it comes out June 14th. So it'll start the end of May, the beginning of June.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Now, this popped up on Reddit. Oh, and you can't see that from here. Hang on. Reddit is formatted exactly not like every other screen that I have to show. Okay, there we go. So we got this. This popped up yesterday. This person says, just got word from our distributor that boxes are going to cost us $163 each. And they're 36-pack. Booster boxes, not the 24 of a master set. So that seems high.
Yeah.
I have no idea what a normal box or even a master set box costs from the distributor, but that seems high.
I mean, it is. It definitely is, because just straight up division, if you divide the 163... uh-huh. assuming zero profit by 36, you're looking at $4.53 a pack.
Okay, so they'll probably be $7 or so a pack, just like on Magic Online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that will be, even though it's not an MSRP, I think that's going to be the starting point. Just because it'll be what people are expecting. And just as a reminder, this is not a master set, so... I've seen nothing whatsoever to imply that there's like a special foil in every pack thing going on. We don't have that anywhere. I've seen some people jumping to that conclusion on Twitter. Like, it's not a Masters product, so
yeah,
don't assume Masters things.
And then someone asked Mark Rosewater, because he has so much to do with this, will Modern Horizons be a limited print run thing? And he says it is not a limited print run. So again, it's not a master set. This is more like Battle Bond as far as availability and amount that's going to be out there.
This is straight up just a set of things that is being released that is not standard legal.
Yep.
It's really the only thing special about it.
Yep. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what they put in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
And how much that actually shakes up / destroys the format.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I, as someone who doesn't play Modern and has no stake in this, I'm hyped.
Sure.
But don't expect to see any more until well after War of the Spark, because War of the Spark previews start later this month.
Yeah, well, and there's no real reason to undercut their own promotion.
Okay, technically like they start at the beginning of next month.
Yeah. Like, undercutting this would be like announcing Return to Ravnica before showing anything for Avacyn Restored, and they'd never do that. That would be stupid.
Yeah. But remember, for all the people who are freaking out that they're killing Modern, or they're killing Paper Magic, here's a paper product that is specifically for Modern. I think you're fine. Calm down.
Yeah.
Get you a paper bag. Breathe into it for a little while. You'll be fine. As we said, I think it was last week. There are reasons internally that they're not telling us stuff further ahead of time. And we just have to deal with that now.
Yeah. The balance of information is changing. They may eventually reach a point where we know this stuff again, but that's not right now. So just pay attention to what they say. Keep an open mind. Don't freak out about it. This is still your hobby.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But yeah, paper magic's fine. Modern is fine. Everything is fine. Not everything, but those two things are fine. Okay? Okay.
For the purposes of these topics, it's okay.
Yes. And also, yeah, in the full art for Sarah the Benevolent up here in this corner, the upper left corner, you can actually see art that you would recognize as Sarah's Realm.
I like that.
I don't have that handy at the moment to show you guys, but it's there.
Yeah. The flavor is fun.
Yeah, if you go follow the artist, who I still don't know how to say her name, Magali de Villeneuve, maybe? She posted the full art on Twitter. And yeah, Sarah's Realm that you would recognize is right there. Just off camera here.
Yeah. So really what's happening is the interplanar cameraman has just sort of rolled up to be like, oh man, I'm going to take a picture of the realm. And Sarah's like, that's my house. Get out. And they took a picture on the way out.
Yeah, you don't see the hand motion that she's doing there. She's gesturing to her attack dogs that are coming to bite this guy on his ass.
Oh, I bet they're cute.
I bet they are.
That'd be adorable.
She's probably got like attack corgis or something.
Oh, with little wings and vigilance. Yeah. That'd be cool. That's why she gives them +1/+1. Now they can fight elephants.
Could you add with little wings and vigilance to the title possibilities? Because that's good. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I don't... Okay, so we talked about Modern, Horizons, this and that and the other. What is the next thing? All right, okay, so... This was frustrating in the pre-show. If you become a lifeguard of the proper tier, the rare lifeguard, and get to listen to the pre-show, you'll hear us complain about this. But
we have opinions.
Do what?
We have opinions about things.
On this twitch.tv/shacknews, which is apparently a talk show about, well, it's called The Wide World of Electronic Sports.
Yeah, it was neither Shaquille O'Neal nor the ghost of Radio Shack, so I was disappointed twice before we got to it.
He was. But on this, they had this guy. Bear, I'm going to say Schmedeker? It's something like that. He is the director of esports at Wizards of the Coast. So he's... working with the team to support MTG Arena and build on 25 years of history. Also, cute corgis. So, this guy, we had to do research to figure out whose voice this was, because they don't put anything on the screen anyway.
What's information between people sharing information?
Exactly. So, I'm going to hit play, and hopefully you guys can hear this.
So, Jonas Dash, coming at us hard. I just want a straight answer on one thing. Will the modern format be implemented in Arena?
No, not at the moment. To have that format available.
There you go. So they are not putting modern on Magic Arena, which we knew already, because they've said it before.
Yeah.
But now here's another person saying it for all the people who are like, I just wish they'd put modern on Arena. If they put modern on Arena, there's literally no reason to have Magic Online anymore.
It would also involve creating arena interactions for more than a decade of cards, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, that's a lot to go backwards with when they're spending all their energy going forward.
let's see, when the Mirrodin...
It's like 2005-ish, right?
Release date. Mirrodin release date was 2003.
Three, okay, even further.
And I can't remember if 8th edition came before or after. 8th edition came before.
Yeah, of course that's weird. Okay.
So 8th edition released in July 2003. So it would be 16 years, just under 16 years of Magic that they'd have to put on there. I guess no, because they've got two already. So it would be, what did I say, two? So it'd be just under 14 years of Magic they'd have to put on Magic Arena. That's still in beta and still has issues. So
it would also be a lot of weird mechanics that might not translate over. Like, we've had so many gimmicks over the years. So many alternate win conditions. So many other things that may not translate well to Arena. I don't blame them if they decide not to.
So, yeah. They're not doing that. We already knew that. For some reason, people can't get it through their heads.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go play Magic Online if you want to do that.
Yes, by all means.
It's all there.
Go play Magic Online if you want to play Modern digitally. That's what Magic Online is there for. Okay? Okay.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Gothic, I swear to God. Gothic just said in the Twitch chat, so you're saying there's a possibility.
The word is chance if you're going for the Dumb and Dumber approach. And I hope you are.
All right, so next up is, it's not exactly news just yet, but it's getting there. And remember, the last 8 spots for the Mythic Invitational were going to be given to the top 8 finishers on this season, or last season now, of Magic Arena. And they have released the top 100. Look at that, all the way to 100. Also would like to point out that, I saw this earlier, Never Lucky is ranked 69.
Well, nice. There you go then. I do appreciate the fact that using screen names instead of real names results in a lot of things that are blatantly sneaking around the profanity filter now being published on the Wizards website. Good times.
Oh, are there some of those on here?
There's a few.
Nice. But, I mean, you'll see some names you recognize. FF Freak. That's Brad Nelson, sitting at 70. Mm-hmm. If you scroll up some, I think Juzam was... Is that Martin Juza, I think?
Could be.
You'll see Stan Sifka sitting here. Zixo sitting here at 40. I don't know if that's the Zixo or a different one, but I would imagine finishing 40th, that's the real one. It's a Hearthstone player, Bill.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's where I know him from anyway.
Gotcha.
We've got Sklut here, who was... oh, crap. What's his name? We had him on the show once. Crap. Twitter, SQL... Jason Chung. There we go.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was his name. I'm like, I don't remember this. Gotcha.
And so, yeah, just there's all kinds of names you recognize, but the top 8 finishers, now these aren't the invites yet. They have to double check and make sure everyone's available and legal and all that good stuff.
Right.
But here are your top 8. Now, a lot of people know who these people are. I do not.
Correct.
But I know at least a couple of these names are names that I recognize. But that was on Thursday. No, that was on Friday when I was seeing Twitter posts with these people's names. I have no idea who they are now. So, oh well, there you go.
Yeah.
Once all of the people are vetted and agreed to go and sign a contract, whatever the hell the deal is, I thought they were going to announce it today, but they didn't. But once they get all that figured out, they will announce who the final 8 spots for the Mythic Invitational are. And it'll be... some of these people here.
Presumably, yeah.
Hopefully, it'll be these top 8 people. But if not, they will just move down.
Yeah.
As they have to. So yeah, I really should have tried to track down those tweets ahead of time, but it didn't occur to me to do that until right now.
When they make a formal announcement of who the actual top eight are,
we'll cover it again. So
for right now, I just appreciate scrolling down and seeing, oh look, Easy Mac, that is delicious.
Oh man, Easy Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a handful of these names that I recognize as actual Magic personalities. Just a handful, though, because I don't keep track of that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, hopefully it all works out and one of these people wins the Invitational and made it worth it. Yay!
Hurrah! Hopefully one of those people wins the Invitational. That'd be ideal.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'm agreeing with you, yeah.
What is my username in Arena? I don't even remember.
I'm willing to guess.
It was either the Manipool or TMP Chewy. I don't know which.
Easy Mac.
Yeah, it was Easy Mac. That was me.
He was Oatmeal Cream Pie.
I have given those up.
Well, yeah, because you don't like Arena. It ruined it for you.
It's true, yeah. Damn you, Magic Arena.
You've taken another thing from me.
No. I'm trying to stop with the munching on things late at night, like during streams.
Probably a good plan.
Yeah, so I've stopped buying oatmeal cream pies. I've stopped buying, what's the other thing? Ice cream sandwiches.
Do you still have freezer pops? Because those don't actually have food in them.
I do, actually, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, going back to those. Anyway, moving on.
It's like the patch for sugar.
Oh, wait, is that everything?
But tournaments.
Oh, wait,
actually a lot.
There was one more thing here.
One more thing.
Apparently, a graded 9.5 gem mint Black Lotus, Alpha Black Lotus, recently went for $166,000 on eBay. And they had to pay $6 shipping.
I would pay extra.
You'd think that the person selling this for that much money would just eat the shipping. Nope.
No. Only a fool gives free shipping. Some kind of Amazon nonsense right there.
But yeah. This is, damn.
For just the curious, looking online to see how much an unopened alpha booster pack is, it's obviously sold out pretty much everywhere because there's a finite number of these, but the most recent price I found for one of them was $6,000. So, in the event you're willing to risk $6,000 to maybe open one of these, this is the world you're looking at in high-stakes, stupid decisions. But yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I could come up with a long list of funny things you could also do with $166,000, but I have a feeling whoever makes this purchase probably has more money than that. Probably.
Almost certainly, yeah.
This is like crazy collector land.
Yeah, like you could buy a fleet of cars.
You could get an actual Black Lotus. Like, this is a thing you can do.
So there you go. That was put in a post in the Manipool Discord server for people to for us to talk about, and I was like, you know what? That's pretty funny. Let's talk about it.
So the funniest part of this overall is that there's a non-zero chance that whoever bought this bought it for the express purpose of taking it out of its even, and everyone in the world would cringe as it goes down thousands of dollars in value by touching human hands. So that could happen.
I have no idea why Bill roboted so hard, but you understood what he said.
Beep boop. Beep boop boop. Lock Luzet, just like in the show notes.
So there you go. That's our fluff for the week.
Yeah.
So let's go to tournaments, shall we?
Yup.
We've got GPLA.
Los Angeles, not Louisiana.
Correct. Anyway, how many people were playing, Modern. How many people were playing Modern in GPLA?
1,568, according to the standing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Take that, Legacy event.
Boom! So this was Modern, and Michael Burnett won. Let's see Okay, here we go. Oh, these aren't in order.
No.
Son of a freaking...
Not a thing.
All right. I'll show the deck list. You tell me who...
Try to figure out the order. Okay.
Michael Burnett won. He was playing Izzet Phoenix.
Neat.
With the thing in the ice and Terramander. Yeah, okay. What you'd expect.
Yeah. Gal Schlesinger.
Gal Schlesinger. Here we go. He's playing Hardened Scales. Wow, look at that.
Haven't seen that in a little bit.
Not in a little bit. So there you go. That's pretty neat.
Okay. Third place would go to Jin Liu.
Wrong way. Jin Liu's also playing Hardened Scales.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
All right, then. Fourth place would be Bradley Yu.
Bradley Yu was playing Dredge, so it's Modern, so he was at least kind of playing Magic, but only kind of.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, now the hard part. Fifth place, I think, would be Joseph Trojan.
J Trojan?
Yeah, I would assume.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he's listed as Joseph here, but here it's listed as J. Wait, is there another Trojan?
No.
Oh, okay, well, there you go, then. He is playing Titan Shift.
Dun-dun.
Anything? Nope, looks like Titan Shift. Okay.
Okay. So then, sixth place would go to Frankie Rodriguez.
Frankie Rodriguez was playing the Grixis Death Shadow deck. It's been a little while since we've seen that, too. You remember when that just ruled the format?
A month or two ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
All right, seventh place we have Fernando Gonzalez.
Fernando Gonzalez was also running Dredge. Only sort of playing Magic.
Only a little bit, but I mean it's Modern, so here we are.
Yeah, that's true.
And Daniel Besterman in eighth.
And Dan Besterman was running Izzet Phoenix also. This one was Snapcaster Mage.
Ew.
Instead of, instead of the Terramander. Huh, interesting.
I'm just glad Clues wasn't here to see this.
Yeah, I think he has Snapcaster flashbacks, doesn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
He would also offer you a judge test for that. But he can't do that.
Oh, I didn't even mean it that way. Oh, damn!
I thought it was on purpose.
It wasn't. I just, like an acid flashback or, you know, a PTSD flashback. No. I wasn't even thinking what the Snapcaster Mage actually did.
No.
I'm the worst. I should take a judge test.
You got Mega Man'd by yourself.
Damn. Well, that's depressing. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's your top eight. Let's see here. What's in the top 32? We've got Tron, more Phoenix, Fairies by Yuta Takahashi. Really? Huh. Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's weird when the Fairies deck only has seven Fairies in it.
Well, it's got Bitter Blossom too.
Yeah, but.
Is that the only other fairy?
I think it is the only other actual fairy.
Yeah.
Because Bitter Blossom special. Maybe one of the lands.
There's Vendi Click in the board.
Oh, and some Mutavaults. Okay. There's enough, but...
Oh, and there are Mutavaults.
It still feels weird.
Wait, no. That's Snapcaster Mage. It doesn't have seven fairies.
Oh, you're right. Duh.
Yeah, I just assumed that both the creatures were fairies too. Nope, it's Snappy. Dang. Yeah. All right, moving on. We're prison humans. Good old humans. Remember when that ruled the format?
I remember when they ruled the world.
More. I hate you. all right. More were prison. More humans. Elves.
What?
Wow. Elves in modern. Check that out. Blue Red Storm. Jund.
Yeah.
More Phoenix, more Death Shadow, more Jund, more Phoenix, more Phoenix, more Shadow. All right, let's go faster here. White Blue Control. Whoa!
Big snappy weekend.
Check it out, Baneslayer Angel in the sideboard. Look at that, just sitting there.
It's chilling, like it's a corset.
Right. Anyway, Burn. Oh wait, Clues isn't here. I was waiting on him to go. Burn, but he's not.
He's not, no.
But just imagine that you heard Clue say that.
Yeah, just mentally substitute that in.
Yeah, yeah. More Phoenix, more Amulet. Well, not more. Here's Amulet Titan.
Good old Force 357. Represent.
What?
Just whenever they have basics in this interface.
Oh, yeah. Force 347? Nice. And then here we go. Here's the other. I was hoping this was in here. The other person we're going to talk about playing Mono Red Phoenix, not Burn, as we originally thought. Abram Goldstein, or Stein. I don't know which. Forgive me.
We're sorry. Mondolith. So,
Abram here, what makes Abram special is that apparently Abram is 11!
Yeah.
Damn!
Yeah.
And he made top 32 of how many people?
Of 1,568.
1,568. And an 11-year-old made top 32 playing the Mono Red Phoenix deck. That...
What did you do with your weekend?
Yeah, right? That is freaking sick.
Yeah.
And the reason we're bringing this up is because lots of people were excited because Dana Fisher, you know, the Little Nissa girl.
Yeah.
Which just, that's just how people know her. She's the Little Nissa girl who goes to events, cosplaying as Nissa and playing in events and whatnot. I don't know how old she is, but she made day two. She's apparently the youngest person to do that. The problem with that is I don't know how old she is.
Yeah.
But... She is 8, Jay Barlow said.
That checks out. I believe she was 7 last year, so we're going to make the assumption that time has passed.
Time is what?
Time is present.
Time? Maybe we should get you to take that judge test, too.
Oh, no. No.
So, yeah, there you go. As you all know, I have no concept of the passage of time, so when he says that, I'm like, huh?
That's a new one.
Is that why Brian and Dirk's kids keep getting older while I keep getting older?
No, that's entropy. Different.
Oh, right. No, that's why I'm falling apart as I'm getting older.
Oh, you're saying it's not causality. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway,
it's because you don't have those oatmeal cream pies to keep you stuck together.
Oh, maybe I should buy some oatmeal cream pies.
Brought to you by Bad Choices.
No. But yeah, anyway, a big congrats to Dana for being the youngest person to make day two of a Grand Prix. And then to Abram here for being 11 and making the top freaking 32.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the first person quite that young to make it that far, but that's still
so.
Worth calling out.
That's just impressive regardless.
Yeah. So,
it's not like modern is an easy format.
Not so much, no. So there's your tournament.
Yeah. You want to talk about another tournament?
I guess, yeah, there's really nothing else to talk about here, is there?
I think we've wrapped up for that one.
Excellent. Well, then, let's go to Star City Games in Syracuse.
Yeah, where they're playing Legacy without clues.
Where they're playing Legacy without clues.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly have hiccups.
Without clues.
Without any clue as to why. Good Lord.
Weird. 656 people were playing in the Legacy Open.
That's pretty good. Also, yeah. this is bothering me. Hang on a second. There we go. Okay, all so right. I had to adjust something on the screen. So yes, how many?
656.
Nice. In Syracuse, where, you know, it's cold.
It's true.
And Rich Calley won, playing Is It Delver. We had David Long in second with the Golgari Depths. What is that?
Dark Depths?
The Hexmage. There's Hexmage Stage 2. But yeah, there's Vampire Hexmage.
It's the first card to take advantage of Dark Depths in a meaningful way.
That's pretty cool. In third place, playing Rakdos Reanimator, we have Jonathan Castagna?
That would be my guess.
I think? Yeah, playing... What's Rakdos Reanimator? Oh, it's running Faithless Looting, so they call it Rakdos. Got it. Okay.
I mean, it's also got Sire of Insanity doing his Dunkaroos bit, so that's fun, too.
Oh, wow, in the main.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'll throw off your plan.
Yeah, that's usually in the board.
I mean, I suppose if you reanimate it early enough, your opponent loses.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
Oh, also, check it out. We got Packrat in the board.
Of course we do.
Oh, yeah, and here's Elesh Norn in the board. It looks like the Elesh Norn and the Sire of Insanity swap places for this tournament. Neat.
Hmm. That's funny.
Hmm. All right, moving on. Harlan Firer, I think, is right. Is running the Blue-White Delver deck. Austin Collins has the Izzet Delver deck. Alexander either Beeb or Beebe. Or Beba. Or Rocksteady. Is running Grixis Control. Got Jonathan Goodwin in 7th playing Mono Red. Oh, nope, sorry, clues, Prison.
Aww.
So close.
The Red Jail.
The Red...
Some Legion War Boss up in here.
And then Aiden Breyer finished in 8th playing Miracles.
Yeah. So, does the Legacy Is It Delver deck usually have Terramander in it?
It did better.
I mean...
That one does. Does this one?
The first one does. The fifth one didn't. So that was why I was wondering. Oh, it does. Never mind. I just didn't see it when I was reading.
I was going to say, it did.
Yeah, I just don't have reading comprehension. That's all.
That's true. Yeah, no worries.
It's all good.
You're an American voter.
I mean, what really matters is that I can mouse over and see the art, just like on an election ballot.
That's true, yeah. Terramander is a badass little dude.
Yeah.
Popping up.
Yeah, it's entirely a question because I thought I didn't see it in the fifth one. I'm like, wait, I thought those were always there. And then I got confused. I just can't.
There we go. We've got more Delver of the blue-white variety.
Yeah.
Grixis Phoenix, more Miracles. There's a Stoneblade in 12th.
Ooh.
A Dimir Death's Shadow deck in Legacy? What is this? Death's Shadow, Delver, Zombie Fish, Street Wraith.
Welcome to Brainstorm.
Okay, Dismember. Okay. So It's a blue-black...
It looks like it's blue-black control, but with a little more bite.
Yeah, it's a blue-black Delver deck that they put Death Shadow in. Okay. I mean, there's plenty of ways to hurt yourself with the Bloodstain, with the fetches.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's even
dumping
Water
in those
Grave.
Bitter Blossoms probably helps, too.
Do what? Oh, in the board.
Dumping in the Bitter Blossom probably helps, too.
Yeah, there's even Watery Grave to lose two life. Which, that's the only time I could think of when you wanted to play Watery Grave over Underground Sea.
Yeah.
Huh. And we've got things like Dismember. Even Force of Will matters with its pay one life thing. And Reanimate. And Thoughtseize. So, yeah, okay. I see it. Now that I'm looking for it. But at first, that was just weird.
Yeah.
More Mono Red Prison, more Miracles, more Golgari Depths. And then it goes on from there to be more things that are relatively similar. Here's a Loam deck. Four colors. Lands in 29th. Sneak and Show down in 37th. Hey, remember that? Some Storm. Goblins in 44th. Look at him cracking the top 50.
Oh,
and Clues isn't here for it. That's awful. Some Affinity.
Jim Palm Incinerator.
And the Goblins deck? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's just neat.
Yeah, the Incinerator says what? Pay, two mana to draw a card and utterly destroy whatever thing you're trying to hit me with.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems good.
You see, I'm looking over this Legacy list to try to make guesses as to what they might decide to pull into Modern. Because that's probably how they were deciding to do that set. But, like, what do people actually play in Legacy that won't destroy Modern?
Pile Driver might be a possibility.
Yeah. Pile Driver would be a really funny inclusion for the buy box. But he's not already Legacy legal. Or whatever legal. Yeah, that actually would be a pretty entertaining way to do it. And it would make Clues buy a box. And that's all that really matters.
It's true.
But Pile Driver's in Modern already, isn't it?
No. Wait, is it?
Yeah, it was reprinted.
It was? Oh my god, it was in Origins. Duh. Okay, never mind.
We talked about it last year.
Yeah, never mind.
Not last year, but like whenever that was. Origins was a while ago now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hard to think about.
I completely forgot that he was in Modern. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Well, they could put Matron or Lackey in there to make the deck
better. There are enough goblins that they want to.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to be what they do.
I mean, hell, the Jim Palm Incinerator could get there. I don't think it was ever reprinted. Nope.
Yeah, it's just in some dual decks.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Anyway. All right.
You want to talk about the other Legacy thing?
Yeah, so that was the Legacy Open.
Yeah.
The Legacy Classic had way fewer people.
Yeah, it did. Legacy Classic had 86.
86 people. So let's run through this real quick. Joseph Horton won with Miracles because didn't get that memo. Ed D'Amico won playing, came in second, excuse me, playing Storm. What kind of Storm? Looks like
Legacy.
Ant. Yeah, don't see any wishes. So it looks like Ant. James Gertz in third playing Grixis Delver. Elves in fourth by Charles Azuelos. Jeremy Tibbetts in fifth with the Azorius Stoneblade. Mario Martinez with the Dimir Death Shadow. That popped up a few more times in the top 32 of the other one, so I wonder when this deck became a thing.
I don't know.
Clay Spickelmeyer in 7th with the Grixis Delver, and then Adam, cool last name, Adam, oh, that's an I, Adam Gouveia? Gouveia?
Gouveia? I don't know.
Gouveia? Gouveia?
Adam.
Adam G.
Adam with Maverick.
Running Maverick. Look at that, a Maverick deck. Wow. And I know that JT Huffy in the Manipool Discord server just missed the top 16, I think he said.
Oh, really?
But look, he got the shout out anyway.
There you go.
He was giving us updates throughout the day of how he was doing, and he finished. I think he lost his winning end to get top 16. Maybe was he X and three? I don't remember what he said, and if I go look, it'll screw up Squeeze camera, so I'm not going to go look. But either way, he almost made it, so good job, buddy.
Keep it up. Okay.
All right.
I guess we should talk about these other classics, huh?
Yeah, now we got the Standard Classic, which had fewer people than the Modern one, so we're going to do it first.
All right, the standard classic at 209.
209 with Joshua Stringer running. Let me just open these because I don't know what these are off the top of my head. So, Josh Stringer was playing the Simic Nexus deck. Oh, yeah, this deck. Well, I knew what this one was. Yeah. You know, Hydrid Crisis, Wilderness Reclamation, Nexus of Fate, Rinse Repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the not an arena deck.
Correct. Well, not in Best of One.
Yeah. More accurate, yes.
Second place, Robert Stanley was playing Sultai Midrange. Like you do.
Uh-huh.
And third place, Frank Skarin was running Rakdos Aggro, which is just mono red.
The sideboard thing?
Yeah, mono red with sideboard thing. What is it?
Angrath.
Holy crap, it's Angrath.
I didn't expect Angrath.
I didn't either.
All right.
Is that really it? Yeah. It is.
I mean, oh, wait, Rick's Mighty Reveler has Spectacle.
Rick's Mighty Reveler Spectacle has a little bit of black in it. There you go.
But Angrath is here. I'm talking about Angrath. Look at Angrath.
Look at him.
Full of anger and wrath.
He's like if Ghost Rider was a bull.
Oh, man, I'd watch that one.
I would, yeah. As long as
it didn't have played by Nicolas Cage?
Let's hope not.
I don't know. Nicolas Cage transforming into a flaming bull would probably be worth a movie trailer. Like, don't do it in the real movie. Just put it in the trailer.
All right, moving on. Alex Hahn in fourth with the Sultai Midrange deck. Gruul Aggro in fifth by Jeffrey. Whoa.
Cirasuolo?
Maybe? Cirasuolo or Kiraswolo? I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that. That's C, so it's hopefully it's one of those.
Yeah.
But he's playing the Gruul Aggro, which is actually Gruul.
Yeah.
This isn't a thing we see terribly often, but when we do... Oh, Krull Harpooner. God, that card's good.
Yeah, looks cool too. Like, that's not one of the things you want to see when you look up.
Not so much, no. Oh, look, Domri. Hey, buddy.
Bring the chaos. Bring the ruckus.
Collision, what is he? Collision Colossus. Yeah, there we go. Cool. Legion War Boss? Wow. Cinder Vines? Wow. Okay, sorry. And the Immortal Sun. There's an actual, the Immortal Sun. Two of them in the board. That's funny. Okay, enough of that. Moving on. Matt Tumovich playing the mono white, but they say Azorius aggro deck.
Yeah.
Also, you see this card right here, the Venerated Loxodon? There was a Venerated Loxodon cosplayer walking around the event.
Eh.
It's pretty funny.
That's not appropriate.
I'll see if I can pull up a picture here in a minute. Seventh place, Kane. I was gonna say Kane Reinhardt, but no, I'm sorry. We're not playing Overwatch. Kane Reinhardt. One of those playing the Simic Nexus deck, and then finally Dakota Sheldon playing. Here it's named Mono Blue Aggro, but this is the Mono Blue Tempo deck that Autumn was playing. To win the Mythic Championship. Actually, this looks closer. It's got 20 islands, so it's not exactly Autumn's deck. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
So that was your standard classic.
Yeah.
What's in the rest of the top 16 real quick? Esper Control, more Nexus. Is it Phoenix? More Sultai. Here's the Nexus Gates deck down in 15th. No. I figured we'd see one. There it is. All right. So now the Modern Classic.
Modern Classic. Clocking in at 238 Humans. The players, not the deck.
Correct, yeah. 238. So still more than standard, as is tradition.
Yeah. It is their way.
Dominic Harvey 1 playing Wur Prison. Yep.
Robo Jail.
We've Edgar Megalhaze was running the Amulet Titan deck. Yep. Steve Stillman is running Ad Nauseam.
Ugh.
In Modern. Oh, right. The Phyrexian Unlife and Angel's Grace and Lightning Storm. Right, right. This is a Storm deck in Modern. Got it. I was so confused. Because I didn't see the Baral or the Electromancer. But no, this is the Lightning Storm version. Got it. Michael Siembor is running Orzhov Tokens. What is this?
Different.
Ariok Champion.
Yeah.
It's a good card. Soren Solemn Visitor. And then, okay, what do we have here? Hidden Stockpile.
Yeah.
Intangible Virtue. Oh.
Yeah, we're going that way.
Path to Exile. Secure the Wastes. Zealous Persecution. Yup. Inquisition of Kozilek. Like Lingering Souls. There it is. Spectral Procession. Holy crap.
Yeah, we're all in, buddy.
Thoughtseize and Bitter Blossom.
We're doing it.
So wait, that means, yep, there it is. There's a Vault of the Archangel in the lands, like you'd expect.
You would better.
And Shambling Vent, yep. Wow. Check that out. That's freaking cool. What do we have in the board here? Engineered Explosives, Burns and Forge Tender, yep. Rest in Peace, Ruined Halo, Stony Silence, yep, yep. Disenchant. Fatal Push, Duress, Lost Legacy, Wrath of God. Just, it's got all of your... This looks like your generic sideboard. Okay, we have this for this deck, and this for this deck, and these for these deck. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is fun looking. I really enjoyed playing. I guess when I was playing it, it was white, blue, black tokens. Way back in, like, original Innistrad Standard.
Yeah.
But the mechanics are still pretty much the same. Like, dump a bunch of things. You don't care if you have to trade because you'll have more things. Eventually you will just kill them because, like, Intangible Virtue is busted when you can get things online enough. And you will.
Which is why Intangible Virtue, wasn't this banned in its block? Or am I thinking of...
Was it Virtue or was it Lingering Souls that was banned?
What? No, I don't think so.
One of them was banned in block. I don't remember which, because the combo was too good.
I'm pretty sure it was Intangible Virtue.
Probably. Because, yeah, Lingering Souls continued to be... Not that block ever mattered. Easy enough to confirm.
Oh, hey, Jay Barlow said this deck is a pile of sexy. Right?
yes. All right, Innistrad block constructed. March 20, 2012. Banned and restricted announcement. In the interest of making Innistrad block constructed more diverse and healthy, the format, the DCI is banning Intangible Virtue and Lingering Souls.
There you go.
All right. There you go. It was both.
Which is what, yeah, Jay Barlow said in chat. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah, it was that good. Admittedly, block also didn't have answers for that at all.
Mm-mm.
Like, that was not the set where you got condition-free wrath effects for cheap. So, makes sense.
But, like, you remember when Black-White Tokens was huge in Modern? It was long time ago now, but...
It was early Modern.
Yeah.
Back when they had more arts banned.
Yeah. So it's really nice to see this come back and do well.
I think this is the first time it's actually been able to take advantage of Bitter Blossom. Since Bitter Blossom was banned at the outset for a long time.
That's pretty awesome. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Grixis Death so Shadow miserable. Duet.
Just thinking how miserable it is when they have, like, you know, the typical two Intangible Virtue out and a Bitter Blossom. Just getting, like, a 3-3 Flying Vigilance every turn. And then they're just like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit back and offset the damage from the Bitter Blossom with this Vault of the Archangel swing. Like, you don't have to play cards anymore.
You really don't.
Like, that's awesome. All right, moving on.
So moving on. Fifth place, Francis Regimbald is running Grixis Death Shadow. Like you do.
Yeah.
Dave Hang on. Napolitano, something like that, is running Humans. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Bosley in 7th has Jeskai Control. And rounding out the top 8, Mono Green Tron by Ross Ronaldo.
Oof.
Cool. So there you go. That's your top 8. Looking through a little further, there's Burn in 9th. I'll have to pause for your brain to fill in clue saying it. Jund, Abzan Midrange. Well, that takes me back. Yep, this is Jund minus red plus white. It's exactly what this is. Okay. Jeskai Control, Dredge. Blue-White Control, Dredge, Eldrazi Tron. And there's your top 16.
All right, then.
Nice. Oh, Jay Barlow said they even made an event deck of it. They did make the Black-White Tokens event deck.
It was the affordable one, because all the best cards are uncommons. Like, the power scale of Black-White Tokens at that period of time was insane. And it didn't rely on rares. Like, you had your Sorens and stuff to play with, but you didn't need them. And so it was just great. Also, we had, like, I want to say we had a little bit of overlap with one of the Elspeths, which helps. Good times.
What was that card I was going to look up the cosplay of?
The Loxodon?
Yeah, Loxodon what?
Is it Venerated?
Thank you. Let's see if I can find... That's not a very good picture. Scroll. Ah, here's the one. Yeah, here we go. Boom. There's the Venerated Loxodon at...
That's great.
What is this thing? The Star City event.
That makes me happy, because it's the kind of thing where you want to just go outside for lunch and just sort of chill. Just sit down somewhere with like a big smoothie so that you can, you know, route the straw in and just hang back. And if anyone asks you any questions, you just sort of convert them to a religion that you make up on the spot. Be a lot of fun.
You haven't put any thought into this at all before, have you?
No. No, I would never dress up like an elephant and convince people that, you know, Trunksmas Eve is the most important night of the year.
Okay, then.
All hail the glory of Mastodon. Moving on. Hey, are we out of tournaments? Awesome.
And then you can have offshoots of that religion that say all hail the glory of Mammoth instead.
No, that is heretical. The schism never happened. We're moving on. Tournament's over.
So, yeah, that is all of the news we have, right? And no, not Loxo Dave. Don't let's be silly.
What?
It's not like it's Bronto Dave.
Bronto Dave is a respectable other religious option. Praise be.
He's thrashing, even.
Well, I mean, you would be too if people were talking about Loxo Dave. Anger everybody. Heretical nonsense.
Crap, I ran out of drink. Oh, God. Okay. Just have to maintain for a few more minutes that I can go get a drink. We're good.
Yeah, you just have to do the long sign-off.
No problem, no problem.
Cool. I think we're ready for sign-off, so...
Yeah, we're done with this episode.
Cool. You can find me on Twitter, at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no Iron Goblin, because I've sent it ahead to Japan in advance of me to scout. Its job is going to be to find cool stuff for me to look at. So hopefully it will report back and not get lost at the Owl Cafe, because there are cafes with live owls that will just sort of sit on you while you eat. Because Japan. So let's hope it's okay.
Because Japan.
That's going to be my answer for a lot of things. Expect pictures on Twitter. It might actually be worth following me if you don't, just to see what nonsense I take pictures of. I will be that foreigner taking pictures of everything. It's going to be fun.
But he'll only be posting the really good stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to actually just get a picture of like, ooh, look, a vending machine. Ooh, look, a slightly different vending machine. Ooh, look, a vending machine that has humans in it. Like, I'm not taking pictures of all that. We already know that's there. No, it'll be different. I'll probably find some other fun stuff to take pictures of.
Definitely don't take pictures of the vending machines with underwear.
No. Why would I take pictures of that? We already know that exists. Old urban legend. But yeah, so that'll be coming up in a little bit when I disappear for a few weeks. So I'll be posting things on Twitter and the like instead. But in the meantime, I'm going to go see Captain Marvel this weekend. I'm looking forward to this.
Nice.
I've got to go running in the 90s all the way in and get super hyped up. I have avoided every promotion for this so far, so I don't know anything that happens in this movie. I've not seen anything beyond the promo poster. I'm really getting excited for it. So this should be fun.
I have seen a couple
of
the TV spots and whatnot because I watch stuff on Hulu and on YouTube, and sometimes there are unskippable things on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't know what happens.
Good.
There's just cool shots of Captain Marvel doing Captain Marvel things, and I'm like,
I'm fine with that.
Cool shots of her standing there looking like a badass, and I'm like,
I appreciate all this.
Yeah, and that's all I got.
But yeah, I appreciated that. The fact that I haven't actually seen anything. When I was at a movie recently, they ran one of the promos. But what I discovered is that if you close your eyes and you hum the Star Wars theme, every Disney trailer sounds like a Star Wars movie you might see. And the words will not enter your brain properly. It helps that Sam Jackson was talking, so I just pretended it was a prequel movie. But it worked pretty well. Because Disney's figured out their formula for trailers so long that you can pretty much just remember an old Marvel trailer while a new Marvel trailer is going. The music and sound will still sync up and you won't actually encode what you're hearing. So if you're in that situation of not wanting to spoil yourself and you are also too lazy to get up and leave the theater during the promos, that's the thing you can do. Because, yeah, you can pretty much take all of the Marvel movie trailers and just run them at the same time and the edits are almost the same. They've completely solved that formula. So, that's fun. But yeah, I've seen a bunch of movies lately. I'm looking forward to seeing Captain Marvel. That'll be fun. And I'm going to ask everyone who's vaguely interested to go see it opening weekend because I want it to do well. On a tangential note, I finally saw the trailer for Shazam, you know, the other Captain Marvel. And that also looked fun because someone decided to make a DC movie that isn't dark and it works.
Wait, so, did you say you finally saw it?
Yeah, I've been avoiding it, but it popped up and I decided I wasn't going to avoid it this time. So I just watched it. And I'm like, well, that's fun.
I've seen it in front of like the last three or four movies I went to see. Like, Mom is the first one that they
put it up on.
Mom is getting to the point where when it pops up, she goes, oh, it's Shazam again. Yeah. I still don't want to see that. I'm like, I'm going to go see it. She's like, well, I guess I'll go with you then.
That's fair. No, like, I haven't seen that one. I think part of it's because I started going to an Alamo Draft House for movies. And I think they get a different trailer reel than the big theaters.
Oh, okay.
But it's also an enjoyable experience because they make people be quiet there. Like, if you talk during the movie, they kick you out. So you can actually just enjoy a movie. I greatly appreciate that as a policy. So I started going to those, and you just get different trailers. So if you have one of those nearby and you've never been, check it out. They're kind of nice. But I think that's pretty much all that I have for nonsense right now. If you are a listener in Japan and you have any recommendations for cool stuff to do while you're there, I'm going to be spending like a week in Tokyo and then a week wandering around like a crazy person to see a lot of the rest of the country. So by all means, let me know what cool stuff is there that I don't already know about. And I might check it out. Because nice. I'm at the point now where it's real. Like, I'm really going. I've really booked hotels. I'm really planning stuff. And so I'm open for suggestions. Also, I'm going to go to Tokyo Tower and try to get superpowers or destroyed based on which movie I'm watching. So it'd be fun. And that'll be it for me. Take it away, Clues. La Clouse is spelled just like in the show notes. Take it away, Chewy.
Beep boop. Hi, I'm Chewy.
Hi.
I am at the Manapool on Twitter.
Yeah, you are.
In fact, I am probably the Manapool everywhere. For instance, right here on twitch.tv/themanapool, where I stream things.
Whoa. That's up there.
What?
That's where the URL is in my browser.
Oh, in the browser. You pointed up there, and I'm looking at the top of the stream going, there's nothing above you. I forget
more
other
up.
People are watching it in browsers or on phones. Yeah. Anyway, what was I saying? Yes, I stream
Manapool,
things
Manapool,
here.
Manapool.
We stream Monday Night Magic. We stream the Manapool. Also stream other stuff. Yesterday, in fact, I streamed the Manapool Nerf Report, or the TMP Nerf Report, excuse me, with Mike. About the upcoming Year of the Dragon changes that are going to happen in Hearthstone. That'll be going up on YouTube in the nearish future. They announced it far enough out to where I don't have to feel rushed to hurry up and get it done right now. So
nice.
Yeah, because that happens in April, and they announced it last week. So,
ooh, notice.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Different.
So if you want to hear about the cards that are being moved to the Hall of Fame and the various other changes, including new single player content and all that, just wait a bit. It'll be up on youtube.com/themanapool. Hey, youtube.com/themanapool. I've got stuff going up there too. I've dropped back down to one video a day because I have other things that need to get done that I'm still not done with. But what's going up here lately? Well, lots of Smash Brothers World of Light, because I love the World of Light mode so much. And some Hearthstone. Got tomorrow, actually. So by the time this goes public for people to listen to, actually probably right after this goes public, yeah, I think it'll be the second video, is a Hearthstone video featuring Zalae's Warlock deck, which uses Soul Warden to get back the cards you discard, so that you can just discard things with Reckless Abandon, and it's okay.
I don't know anything about that.
I know. But there, so in Hearthstone, there's no graveyard. So when you discard a card, it's just gone. But
if you're discarded in the game, you're discarded in real life?
Pretty much, yeah. But there's a card called Soul Warden that its battle cry, its enters the battlefield effect, essentially, is get back three cards that you discarded this game. And it remembers things, like if you charged up a spellstone and then discarded it, when it comes back with Soul Warden, it's still charged up, which is sick.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, it's aggressive, and it's a lot of fun, and this video has two games, one that's against an aggro deck, and one that's against a slightly less aggro deck. So it's got both ways that the deck plays out, so it's a good video. Yeah. And then, like I said, more Smash Brothers World of Light, because I like it. And soon, I've got, let's see, what else? The Nerf Report will be going up soon. I recorded a vlog. There was a night just recently where I didn't sleep very well due to a series of comedic events. Well, they weren't comedic at the time. They were awful. But now it's funny. And that
Tragedy
morning when
time.
I do what?
Tragedy plus time.
Pretty much, yeah. So that morning when I finally woke up, I came in here and sat down and recorded a vlog about the previous night, looking half dead and still being about a quarter asleep. So that'll be going up very soon. I've got more Hearthstone games with a Control Priest, some Hand of Fate. I need to look at Super Metroid to see if that is worth cutting up and putting up on YouTube. I don't know if it is yet. I played more of the Heroic Blackrock Mountain in Hearthstone, which is a single-player adventure mode, and the Heroic mode is hard mode. And I played some Plague Inc. again. So all of that is stuff that will be going up on the Manapool's YouTube channel sometime in the near future. Yeah. Whew. All right. So, if you would like to help support what I do with this, all of these streams, in theory, I stream 2 podcasts a week and 3 other nights a week.
A work week.
So, yeah, pretty much. I take Tuesday nights off, usually so Billy and I can play Overwatch, I'm not going to lie, and I try to take either Saturday or Sunday off. Sometimes I end up doing both due to various reasons, but I try to have 2 nights where I'm not streaming every week, and then the rest of the week, in theory, I'm streaming. So, with all the streams, and then at least 1 YouTube video every day, and the 2 podcasts, just all of that, it's a lot of work. So, if you want to help support what I do with this frankly ridiculous amount of content creation, then the best way to do that is on patreon.com/themanapool, where you can sign up to be a lifeguard. Lifeguards get a variety of perks. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to the Manapool podcast and to YouTube videos. For instance, today, I think you got access to 3 more YouTube videos way before they go up, because those are going to last the rest of the week, I think. Yeah. The rare lifeguards get the early access and access to the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that's uncensored and unfiltered. And the Mythic lifeguards get the early access, the odds and ends, and the sponsorship shout out on both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos. They go up each month. So, I would like to thank our Mythic lifeguards: Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lance Delicious, Timu Hellas Haryu, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Bretain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansens, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Aleph Cat, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine.
Got there.
I did. Huh. So, with all of that said, and that was a lot, so to recap, join the Manapool Discord server. We have a lot of conversation going on there. There's a link down below, whether you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, there's a link down, or if you're listening via a podcast later, then that's in the show notes. There's always a link to the Discord server. You can subscribe on YouTube, follow or subscribe on Twitch, join the Patreon, or just spread the word is the absolute easiest thing you could do. That does help quite a bit.
Propagandize.
Yes. Share things on social media. Be like, oh my God, look at these fools. Yes. Oh, and also if you want to help and you want to buy video games or stuff from Humble Bundle, there's a link that if you go through our link, then that helps. We get some amount, some percentage of what you buy goes to us. So the link is down below in all the places. And I appreciate that too. Sadly, I can't use my own link to buy stuff from Humble, or else I would. Yeah. So with that, I will shut up now. Are we done? Yeah, we're done.
I think so, yeah.
So, tell you what, since Clues isn't here, instead of sending you to torment him, I want you all to hit him up on Twitter, at LaCluse, spelled just like it is in the show notes, and ask him, or maybe give suggestions for which goblins they should print in Modern Horizons to make modern goblins a thing.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't know why, he'll be happy because you're making him think of goblin.
It's true. Or burn spell, even.
Ooh, now you're making him extra spicy.
Yeah. So there you go. So with that, we will be done with Monday Night Magic number 643. Ivan Chewy. That, hang on, you can't see. That squee over there.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you all so very much for watching, or listening, or whatever. And,
Consuming.
Consuming! Go play some magic.